Chapter 16. The U-Haul truck they had carjacked right out front of the laundromat hadn't been customized for movers or shakers, of course. But the inside of the 10-foot storage area is perfect for hiding and shakes enough to keep all Poppy's colt unsteady on their feet just the way they like it, all the way to Massachusetts. That siren they hear wailing in the distance doesn't scare one of them. Hell no, those two student truck renters who must have flunked out of Bronx Community College midterm and decided to do their laundry before heading home to tell their parents were easily overpowered and ran like the lightweights they were as soon as Poppy pulled a bottle of fabric softener under a towel on them like a gun. One even dropped the agricultural studies textbook she was clutching before she took off. Who would study agriculture in the Bronx but a moron? She wouldn't even know how to call the police. Maybe a farm animal will help her. Poppy and Adora are up front in the bucket seats with surprise hissing and acting like a crazy cat in a moving vehicle, hiding wherever she can wedge herself. Daryl tried to get the better seating on the argument that he and Richard are a team that needs only one seat, but so are Adora and Surprise and their family, so that's that. Poppy is thrilled to feel the shocks in this truck are shot, so she bounces enough not to feel any withdrawal symptoms. To keep Adora in shaking practice, Poppy swerves the U-Haul whenever she can, but it's a fine line between movement maintenance and attracting police attention. In the back, the gang lurch from side to side in no seatbelt bliss or bounce up and down every time Poppy purposely hits a pothole to help project them upward. Communicating from back to front is almost impossible, but if you really yell, the others can hear some of the words being shouted. "I'm gonna something something myself," Twisted Billy hears Poppy yell from the other side of the wall, but it's Richard, whose penile sense of hearing must be superior to his master Daryl's, who fills in the words "kill her" at the top of his lungs, urinary meatus. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara reinterpret shaking as they purposely bang their bodies into the truck's divider to show their support for Poppy's shouts of revenge. Campolina, over the top as always, goes into a spasm of theatrical shaking to upstage her fellow co-conspirators, but loses her balance and slams into the sidewall instead. Poppy can still hear the thud and floors the accelerator as a sign she's acknowledged the physical impacts of their commitment. Up front, Adora strains to hear the threats Volta and Lipa shout as their heads just clear the interior roof of the truck. And even though she can make out only the words bounce and flatten her too, she gets the gist. On her and death fill in as easily as the phrases she used to solve every night on Wheel of Fortune. Not to be outdone, Richard and Daryl join in the shouted verbal abuse, but the truck backfires at precisely the same time, and luckily for Adora, covers up one of their words, which she's pretty sure began with an F. Okay, she's all in on the eradication of her daughter, but is all this sex talk really necessary? Yes, Marcia owes Daryl her vagina for a one-time payment. Richard, too, she supposes. So call unemployment. But please, an elderly woman's in the van with you, so try, at least try to respect the limits of her newfound liberalism. Surprise is way too confused to take a stand on what constitutes a living wage these days, so instead leaps up from under Adora's seat, lands on the dashboard, and hisses like the woke pussy she has become. Aww. Just as Poppy looks back over from Surprise, wondering if she should now pronounce the Z in her name with a soft S, whenever she's in cat mode, she sees it in the road, a large animal running, trying to escape from a tattoo-faced man wearing a zookeeper-type jumpsuit and heavy gloves and carrying a catch pole and animal net. "It's a hedgehog," hollers Adora with authority. But Poppy doesn't care what the spiky quill-covered beast is. She just swerves to miss this panicked animal whose grunts are surprisingly loud. The gang in the back cheers in excitement, thinking it's just more stunt driving by their leader to enhance the frenzy of their self-movement. But no, this is real. A pile-up accident just waiting to happen. Adora screams, "Look out!" And in the nick of time, Poppy swerves across the rumble strips of the highway, narrowly missing a Breyer's ice cream truck, whose driver has slammed on the brakes to avoid rear-ending a pulled horse trailer full of possible Kentucky Derby winners who now may end up in a glue factory. Poppy grabs the wheel with both hands and goes into a full donut maneuver, skidding circularly, burning rubber, and miraculously coming to rest with two tires blown out and the engine smoking in the breakdown lane facing the wrong way on 95 North. She and her grandmother, with a frantically meowing surprise in her arms, leap from the cab of the truck to help free the followers from the back. They are shaken up, shaken down, shaken over, and bounce ready to pounce. Suddenly, surprise sees the hedgehog, who has darted its way to safety alongside the interstate, and rolled itself into a ball the way those animals do when alarmed. Forgetting she is now a cat, Surprise starts barking and charges this unnatural-to-the-area freak mammal. But before she can sink her still-capped dog teeth into this circle of quills, an ear-splitting cacophony of car horns distracts the cross-species pet from its prey. And the sinewy trainer, completely winded from dodging, speeding, out-of-control vehicles, saves the day. "He's mine," he says, picking up the spiky, hissing creature, who immediately relaxes and uncurls. "I'm Poacher Bob," he announces, "and this is the biggest hedgehog in captivity. His name's Rooter, and he's from New Zealand." "It's illegal to import such an animal in this country," Adora immediately challenges this rogue zookeeper, noticing the words "critter" and "caged" inked under each eye vertically like a falling tear. "It's only illegal in some states," the trainer sassily counters. "And besides, this hedgehog tops the scale at 23 pounds, and in the exotic pet trade, that makes him worth his weight in gold." "Look, we don't care about the law," Poppy butts in before Adora can continue her possibly pointless debate. "We are outlaw trampoline radicals on the run," Volta announces. "And we need a ride," demands Lipa, like the leaping leader of the left she's become. "All of you?" Poacher Bob asks as he surveys the bouncers and shakers, who are struggling to maintain their movement so as not to alarm their potential rescuer. He can see they're vibrating, though, feel their urge to rise upward. And God, that look in their eyes. Who are these people? Surprise reverts back to she-cat behavior and purrs in full softness to the animal keeper's face. Christ, even their pets are nuts. And what the fuck? One of the males has his member out and seems to be having a conversation with it. Who knows? Maybe he can sell these space cadets a descented skunk or that penguin he can't unload because the warm climate gives it body odor. "Where to?" he asks. "The train station," Poppy commands. "We'll see about that," Poacher Bob thinks as he runs to his van, hops in, and jackrabbits it over to them. Who's the boss now? Crammed inside the broken-down, stifling-hot, stinking-to-high-heaven animal trainer vehicle that was obviously ground zero of Poacher Bob's illegal pet-smuggling business, Poppy and the rest of her gang try concentrating on their eccentric gymnastics just so their stomachs won't turn from the odor of the onboard imprisoned animal's waste. Adora was allowed to sit up front once Poacher Bob's menagerie got one look at Surprise and threw themselves against the bars of their cages in horrified disapproval. An imprisoned psychotic monkey in the back lurches toward Campolina, and she lets out a drag queen scream. But this jailed Francis Farmer meets cheetah primate, tops her with a jungle howl that could shut up even Tarzan. The trapper turns off Route 91 west like he knows where he's going, and blithely explains that this ape had somehow caught parvo, a disease that was thought to infect only canines. But was it his fault that the country where the monkey was born was so backward that the virus was confused? "You can take this animal with you for just $20, Poacher Bob offers, but nobody on board seems the slightest bit tempted. Turning to Adora and ignoring her still beginning attempts at shaking, who knows, maybe this old broad's got St. Vitus dance, he tries to barter. "Okay, I'm slashing prices," he announces like a cheap air conditioner salesman in September. $15 and Ding Dong Kong is all yours. Maybe this little freak of a dog of yours wants to mate. Think of the litter. You could open a punk rock puppy mill." Before Adora can even react to this unspeakable idea, This crazy chimp takes a ferocious piss right in front of company, and all the passengers thank their lucky stars that the vehicle's built-in cage drains are still operable. Cool, the penguin, presumably named after that menthol cigarettes vintage ad campaign, well, her deodorant has definitely failed. Volta and Lipa try to bounce as far away from her side of the van as possible, but the rancid cheese meets fruity onion odor of this overheated bird makes even the perspiration-drenched bouncers and shakers themselves yearn for an industrial power washing that will never come. That stench is just guano, Poacher Bob explains. That's penguin poop. It don't smell bad to them, so why should it smell bad to you? Tell you what, take this dirty bird off my hands, and I'll get you to Amtrak. When nobody responds, he tries another sales pitch. Look, penguins bounce, you know. Poppy looks over in astonishment at Cool, who, seemingly on cue, holds both her feet together and, yes, bounces. Penguins don't fly. They bounce, he continues. She's one of you. Cool bounces again, and Poppy's heart feels a tug. That is, until she gets another fresh whiff. We can't, Poppy begs off. Hygiene issues sometimes outweigh inclusion. Cool stares directly at her with fresh hostility, erects her chest, and growls. Yes, growls like a dog. That's what penguins do when they're pissed, explains Poacher Bob. Surprise hisses like a rabid cat, and both animals make eye contact. There it is, nature's standoff. They retreat to their sides of the van, frustrated at their perverted place in domesticated wildlife. But what can they do? Nothing. Okay. You're lost, Poacher Bob shouts as he veers off 95 North into the Branford Service Plaza and parks in the rest area. Ralph's hungry, and the badger don't care what you call him as long as you don't call him late for dinner. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara think they've seen everything, but when Poacher Bob expertly grabs a live rattlesnake from a cloth zoo bag and throws it into the badger's cage, they don't need quarters to shake. They do it all on their own. Oh, Ralph is fearless. He barrels over, lunges at the rattling reptile, biting and swiping and clawing. Even after the diamondback sinks its venomous teeth deep into Ralph's tough skin, he passes out for a few seconds, but he's playing possum. Badgers are one of the few animals immune to snake venom. Fuck you, rattlesnake. Ralph gobbles the whole snake down, rattlers and all. Poppy gags. Volta blacks out. Lipa, for the first time ever, loses her appetite. Campolina shoves old rags she used to sniff carbona off of inside her ears to block the awful noises of badger digestion, but all they do is muffle these terrible sounds. With Daryl's obvious help, Richard shoots out a penile discharge to show his displeasure, but a feverish parrot, who has somehow clawed the tape from around its beak, intercepts the leakage and gobbles it up greedily. Last call for alcohol, the bird yells in a perfect imitation of Poacher Bob's voice. Tell you what, says the reluctant chauffeur as he swerves the van out of the parking lot back to I-95. One of you's give me a hand job and I'll take you where you want. Poppy and her whole gang choke in revulsion at this new aural assault. Woo-woo, Bob cries out lewdly, pretending he's a horny train. I think it can, he taunts, but nobody's going for this little engine who couldn't. La 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 la, chants Adora as loudly as possible, hoping to drown out his obscene words in her head. All the animals, including Surprise, try to cover their eyes, unaware of what sexual harassment actually is, but knowing instinctively that this male is, well, an animal. Only Richard, the trouser snake, has the nerve to rise to the occasion. They have to get to the train station, don't they? Sneakily, he inches Daryl toward the front of the van with a penile pull that is programmed for pussy, yet can be willed to a fellow penis in times of emergency. Could Richard touch one? Is it rubbery? Does it smell like musk? Suppose he gets ticks, not an unreasonable fear around an animal kidnapper's private parts. Yes, he will be a war hero, curling his way forward and executing the hand job to advance the troops onward like a proudly shaking Douglas MacArthur, conquering Connecticut, Rhode Island, into Massachusetts, and all the way up to Provincetown, where the real Battle of the Bulge will begin. But how? How does a penis give a hand job? Richard slithers his way up behind Poacher Bob's seat before Daryl can even figure out what's going on. "My way or the highway," Poacher Bob announces, unzipping and whipping out a medium-sized uncircumcised wang. "Not in front of the animals," yells Adora in a panic. Daryl pulls back, but he's no match for Richard, who thrusts himself between the front seats before Adora can swat him away or surprise can take a big bite. He touches the much older and weathered staff of Poacher Bob's unit with his head. And guess what? It feels good. How can that be? Richard is a heterosexual penis, and the full-blown stallion of another man is not something he has ever chosen to rub. Yet now? What the hell? He's aroused. Poacher Bob likes the male-to-male contact, too, it seems. He doesn't care what's touching his dick as long as it's doing its job. "Eyes on the road," orders Adora, realizing that in times of emergency, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Surprise lies back provocatively, spreading her legs in sexual confusion. Daryl tries to yank Richard back to the safety of their shared heterosexual underpants. But Richard likes this new frication, and obviously so does his partner. "We're straight," yells Daryl in male panic to his own penis. But Richard just moans back in genital reawakening, building to his first gay climax. "Save it for Marcia," cries the horrified Daryl, but it's too late. "New Haven train station, here we come," bellows Poacher Bob, as he enacts the same verb all over Richard's shared shaft, who then explodes in the bliss of male-on-male frotting. Daryl lets out a cry of shame. Richard looks up at Daryl's fearful face and whispers tenderly, "Accept me." Daryl sputters in confusion, but tries to help Richard clean up with an animal wipe. Poppy, Adora, and the whole gang, even Surprise, are so grateful that their murderous journey can continue, they ignore the debauchery around them and resume bouncing in place and shaking sideways as they take exit 46 for Sergeant Drive. Even Poacher Bob gives it a try as he peels up to the train station on Union Avenue, zigzagging the truck so his own animals can taste this possible new sensation from inside their cages. "All aboard," he yells, his voice quivering in a newfound awareness that calms his natural-born belligerence. Twisted Billy is so exhausted he contorts himself into the letter A for Amtrak, and it gives him a brand new thrill. Poppy is the first to pick up on this breakthrough form of literacy, and soon the others notice too. Being a letter brings power, Twisted Billy realizes, so why not try the next one, B? It's harder, but with a little shaking to further oil his joints, he does it. Bent in the middle, with his left hand over his 90-degree extended head, and his right leg curled around to meet the same, he's a B. B is in beautiful. There's no letter he can't be. Last to exit the animal van, he curls his body into a C, an easy one, and comes out sideways following the others. He's the human alphabet now, and nobody can stop him.